You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon to all of you in the 24 time zones on this beautiful planet Earth. Welcome to The Real Short Box Audio Edition. First, let me introduce my fellow co-host. He is the CEO and co-founder of The Real Short Box. He's a man from the great state of Ohio. He was the 1997 Mr. Teen Ohio. He is the man who's DC Comics for life. The original.
This is too long.
Donald.
This is way too long.
Okay.
Everybody's left.
Okay. Fine. I'll shorten it.
You and me now.
I'll say.
I'm the only one that stuck around, Kevin.
Okay. I'm shortening.
Well, that's Kevin, by the way.
All right. Next is the man, Raphael, a pleasant, ravishing, rambunctious young man who gives great commentary. How are you doing, Raphael?
I'm all right.
And last but not least, a man who is a very private man, a man who's very intelligent, very warm and sweet. He is the sensational one. How are you doing, sir?
Warm and sweet today.
We
were just
yes.
discussing. I was going to give him a little bit of a cream pie, and he did not want it.
No. Well,
is this the one that's right in front of me?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, Donald likes to just, do it on the table.
I like to share cream pies. I don't know what to tell you. Those are giant cream pies that you got.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want a whole cream pie just to myself. I got to share the cream pie because it's a lot.
Well, you already ate half of it.
Well, I mean,
half a cream pie.
You put half in your mouth and just dripping out.
Thought he'd have it. Well, I mean, I got a beard. It gets stuck in there. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. I thought you'd want some cream pie too. But no. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe next time.
I'm too good.
Maybe you can take some home with you.
Maybe I'll take it home from him.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's all yours, brother.
Hey, maybe you're like mom or dad would want some cream pie.
There you go.
Or cream pants.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, did you guys see that clip? There's this clip online, and it's like the world's greatest magician, right? And it shows him, he's standing there, and his pants get soaked, and the guy's like, oh, he just nut himself.
And
then he's like, no, Steven, look again. And he looks down, and the stain's gone. And the dude that looked down, he's like, where did it go? And then it just comes out of his mouth.
The best part is the way he keeps, like, he makes an intense, like, look in his eye.
Right.
When he does that.
Yeah, staring him down.
Yeah.
Like bird dogging him.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
This is another one of our segments. I think we call it, roasted or toasted. You know, we go over the top 10 hot comics of the week. And then we'll give our brief commentary on them and see what we think, if it's worth it, and are they just trying to milk it for no absolute reason at all.
I thought you loved being milked. Am I wrong?
Look, I'm not a cow, sir, so I don't like being milked.
That milking table at your apartment says otherwise.
I don't know about that.
And
sir.
You're like, call me Betsy.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Let's get started, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go at number 10. Batman issue number 222.
What is this caca?
Raphael was looking at that earlier, and he was like, "What?" He's like, "What's the point of this?" But basically, it's the Beatles.
Oh, you know what it is? You know why this is happening?
Why?
It's the Beatles unnamed, right? On the cover, maybe, or in, I think they're on the cover.
Yeah.
It's because of the Eminem cover.
Yeah.
Which because of that.
It's because of the Paul McCartney cover.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Eminem, but that started it, and then they were like, "Oh, let's get Paul McCartney. Let's do one with what was it, Biggie?"
Yeah.
And then now they're going back and mining old Beatles.
I mean, and honestly, it's a great cover, right? It's a cool looking cover. It's got the nostalgic old school Batman logo. It's got the cool old school Batman logo. Neil Adams drawing the Beatles, which is funny because in Key Collector, when they bring it up, it doesn't mention Neil at all in what they're in what they're saying. You would think it would say a cool Neil Adams cover or something,
right.
But it's a cool Neil Adams cover. They don't name the Beatles, but they basically look just like the Beatles in a sense in the cover. All around, it's a good book to have in your collection. I'm going to say it's, for me, it's in the middle. I can't say roasted or toasted. I mean, because I'd want to own it, but I'm not saying it needs to be in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm definitely roasting it.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be in the top 10. It's kind of bullshit. Yep. Now, if you're a Batman collector,
it's
sure.
one thing. It's one sure. thing. Yeah, I mean, if you like Batman books or whatever.
Or Neil Adams.
I have a Herbie the Fattest Boy or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? That Herbie comic that they had. And in it, he has the Beatles in there. And that book, I don't think that book's worth shit. Like, it's like $20 or something like that. But they mention it every time you look that book up. It's like, oh, the Beatles are in there, as it's like a big draw.
Yeah.
And but the book's not worth anything. So why, because it's Batman?
Because it appeals to – so that book could be sold as a comic to a collector who's a Batman collector. It could be sold to a guy who collects Neil Adam covers. And it could be sold to a guy who's into the Beatles. It ticks boxes for multiple kind of collectors. But once again, I don't think it deserves to be in a top 10.
Right.
It's a good book to have if you come across it at a good price, but I'm not sure it's a top 10 book.
Yeah. And the reason why it's in the top 10 because of the Paul McCartney variant, that's just the biggest bullshit of bullshit.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I've seen books in the top 10 for less than that. So necessarily, it's more of a buzz book. But Paul McCartney creates a little bit of buzz. Yeah. Which makes you want to go and get it, but it's a book. If you're if you're a Batman collector, you're already buying it.
It wasn't exclusive to like anything. It was just a variant cover that you could have gotten, and it just so happens a lot of people don't order a lot of Superman books now.
Nope,
and so you don't get a lot of those variant covers.
And in that case, I think it was a huge miss on the case is that they, if you're going to put out a book, right, and you want to sell covers. You pick a character that's well purchased, right? Like Deadpool, Spider-Man, Batman, to that nature. You don't pick Superman, you know. Maybe you would pick do a Justice League because they're basically it's Paul McCartney karaokeing with Superman in the Batcave. Mm. That's the cover, right? So you maybe do a Justice League or something. I don't think you do Superman because the title doesn't sell as well as. And I'm not a huge Superman fan, so I'm kind of biased, but I don't think it sells.
Yeah, I know. You can tell. It's in a Superman book. Nobody even knows that character.
I mean, Superman movies, love them, right? The No Superman, great. I just don't think his comics have been ever good. I mean, you tell me, what do you think?
I remember someone, Grant Morrison, the Grant Morrison run was good. I think someone told, was it you?
All-Star was good. Yeah. All-Star Superman
was good.
No. The Alan Moore Superman.
I did really enjoy Red Sun Superman.
Yes! That's really popular.
That's Millar, right?
That's the only run Red Sun, I really read because he was torn between good and evil.
Better character development.
What was the other
basically?
One? Gotcha. The Landis one. Max Landis wrote one.
Oh, it was actually American Alien.
Yeah, it was actually really good. Unfortunately, guess. I don't know.
Facebook friends with him.
Not really.
Yeah, you are.
So let's say.
Am I?
Yeah.
We're saying a roasted, impartial.
Right.
And what are you guys saying?
Oh, I'm roasted.
He's roasting too.
And?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm probably more slightly roasted.
Now, this next one. It's kind of strange.
Yes.
I'll let Kevin give it to you. I think this is a good one.
Now, Donald, this is one of his favorite characters. So,
it's true.
So I know there's going to be a bias coming your way. This is good old All-Star Western number 10, the first appearance of Jonah Hex.
Now, let me tell you this before he goes any further. Uh-huh. Before you're going to get upset, but let me tell you this right now. I really enjoyed the Jonah Hex movie.
Oh, you did?
I'm sorry. I did. I mean,
animated short, you mean?
The movie with the girl from Transformers.
I was a lot younger when it came out.
Yes.
Right? But I liked the notion of it. I'm not saying it was well filmed and it was an Academy Award winning movie, but I enjoyed myself. And this is a book that I actually do not have in my collection that I have not bought yet just because I've yet to find one that I thought was in a position that I could improve it. Like I usually buy books at a lower grade that I could press and clean to get a little higher grade, a little bump. That's gonna be a big bump. You know me, Donald. I'm a 5.0 guy.
Right.
But I'm looking for a 3.0 to pump to a 5.0. And every time I see this book, it's either in a really high grade, a very expensive price, or really bad. But I've never seen a lot of in betweens. And I saw one. I won't say his name, but he was super overpriced. I just walked on by.
No names. Yes, no names.
No names.
But Megan Fox is the real reason why you watched that.
No, I actually like the guy who played Jonah Hex.
Josh Brolin? I also plays Thanos and Cable?
Yeah, I think he did really good. I think he really well.
You can't stop playing.
I thought
Ryan Reynolds.
It might not have been
Chris Evans.
And Chris Evans.
Yeah, it might not have been done really well, but the story behind I thought was good. I just think maybe they didn't.
John Malkovich is in it too. He mm-hmm. can't go wrong. Yeah. They all like John Malkovich.
Such a good. It was a good cast.
And Magneto's in it too. Michael Fassbender.
It was a really he was bad in that movie.
Yeah.
Now, are you saying it was bad because of the special effects, the storyline, or the acting?
It was really bad.
Correct. So you're saying if they had a better director, it probably would have been better.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the podcast that comes after this one, we'll tell you a good director that's doing some stuff with DC that could. Bring this one out and make it really good.
I mean, my main question is, why is it on the list? Is it on the list?
I don't know.
What is their rationale for it?
It says, it's weird to me.
It's not giving you it, is it?
It's just basically saying the recent sales.
And I'll tell you this, but I'm telling you, what I'm saying is
speculation, maybe?
No. I've been so a good friend of ours, Julio, has always wanted this book. And he finally got one, but we're looking for another one. And when he got it and it was raw, we looked through it. I kind of read briefly the first couple pages of it and said, "This is a cool book." So I kind of wanted this book too. So I think it's like some books where everyone holds off because of the fact that maybe it was too high priced, and now because books are coming down a little bit, it's more the higher grade is more affordable. So I think the sales are going up because the higher grade books are becoming more affordable. It's possible, more people picking it up.
Yeah, because I'm looking at here, 1100 sale outsold the $1,058 record sale from April. Not that much difference.
No.
And then it mentioned a 3.0 sale of $206 from $169.
And we got to admit, sometimes, you know, when you create top 10, let's just say the top 10 is the same every week because the top 10 books are always top 10 books.
Right.
People stop caring. Sometimes you have to throw a couple mixes in there, like not high grid books, but just some mixes.
So that's the previous one, the Beatles.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. But that one I get because there's that Eminem and that and the association with Paul McCartney and all
it's
that.
Dumb, but
we get it, we understand
but
it. This one, it's just there.
Doesn't
and it's
make
like,
sense to you.
So I'm gonna say Toasty because it's a solid book. You should have key book, good first appearance. Solid.
And he will be brought back at some point.
Yeah, solid book. You know,
yeah, it's a DC, whatever.
You know, it's totally a James Gunn book.
Yeah, I think it's Toasty too, but I think it's the Toasty that you
would have showed up on Doom Patrol.
Forgot that you actually made the Toasty, and you went out and you're like, oh, there, it's still warm, and you're like surprised and you're happy about it.
It's the book.
It's there, you know?
I'm not understanding this metaphor.
It's the book in your sharp box that when you're looking for another book, and you pull out. I don't know. I had this. This is amazing. That's the Toasty I'm talking about.
And by the way, what if you show up on Doom Patrol? I know you get so excited.
Yes. Oh, dude.
Jonah Hex decided. I know you love
Cream
Doom Patrol
pies
so
for
much.
Everybody.
I know you love Doom Patrol so much. So I.
what are you saying, Kevin?
You know what? I agree with your assessment. I'll say Toasty because it is something that should be in one's collection. It's a nice book to have. And yes, if you were to all of a sudden you forget about it, you go on.
Sean?
I like the book a lot. I don't understand why everybody's buying it at the moment, but good for the book because that's a great book. It's actually the story itself is very good.
Well, we'll let Donald kick off number seven.
No, eight actually.
I mean eight. I'm sorry. Eight. You're right.
Eight.
Now we've seen this before, and we all agree. The last time we saw this, like why the hell is it here?
Well, we know why it's here.
The cover sucks, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Who did the cover?
Adam Kubert.
I don't want to say it's terrible. I don't want to upset a good
Wolverine
friend of ours.
Number 88, guys. Really? It's just a bad.
Adam Kubert's a good friend.
It's
of yours?
A bad cover.
Oh, I thought it was who those friends.
It's a bad cover. No. Wolverine number 88. It has Deadpool, the worst drawn Deadpool known to man, holding Wolverine up, having impaled him with his swords, and it's the worst drawn Wolverine ever. It's just a fucking
well,
cover.
It goes back to that era after the Image.
It's a negative
breakthrough,
and I get that. I understand
when the Image guys left.
It's bad.
It's kind of artwork Marvel was having for a couple years when the Image guys left.
That's the first meeting of the two, right? Is that the first meeting of the two? Whoop de freaking do!
And I understand. Well, I understand.
The only
why.
Thing worse is the interior. The interior is horrible.
Oh no! Yeah.
And I do understand why the book's on there because the Deadpool movie's coming out. And they want, and they're saying this is when they're going to first meet. So I do get that. I just don't think it's a book. I would rather have Deadpool and Wolverine's first appearances versus their first meeting appearance, especially this book itself.
Right.
So for me, keep it short. I'm going to say it's roasted.
We're roasted. Yeah, I think we all agree on that.
I get the appeal of the book, and I actually think the appeal of the book is not a bad reasoning.
Right.
But the book is just terrible.
Yeah. So we're going to roast it. Let's move on to number seven, a book that I thank Mr. Donald and another mutual friend of ours, Brother Matthew, for getting into my collection so many years ago. Iron Man 55. Oh, Lord. Whoa, look at a beautiful book. All these first appearances, not just Thanos, but Kronos, Mentor, Drax the Destroyer, and Star Fox.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the Blood Brothers.
And the Blood Brothers. Yeah, can't forget the Blood Brothers.
This is easy. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming out.
Also Eternals, since they introduced Star Fox at the end, right?
Yep. So it's kind of that. Once again, another solid book to have in your collection, right? Anyone who came across this book would buy it because at a good price, it's a good book to have in your collection. I don't know a ton about this book, so I'm going to go, other than the first appearance, I've never actually read this book.
It's not a bad read, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with...
It's technically not the first appearance of Thanos. It's a robot Thanos in there.
Right.
So I'm going to go, for me, I'm going to go Toasted. Because it's not a book so you should have, but I can't say roasted because it's better than the last three that are on here. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
It's a funny book because I think for years people have been saying, even when Thanos peaked the book, it's an underrated book because of all the different first appearances in there.
Yeah,
that's right. It's not just about Thanos.
No, there's a lot. If there's too much to ignore, it's definitely toasted in my book. Mm-hmm. What do you two say?
Yeah. Absolute toasted.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So, all right, let's move on to another one. Number six. We've seen this before. It's a very valuable book, probably one of the most valuable books of the modern age. It is Batman Adventures number 12, the first appearance of Harlequin in a standard comic.
It's easy. It's a blue chip book.
Yeah. Right?
Very simple.
Yep.
You should own one if you can find one, right? Right? It's a great book to have.
Do you just go bankrupt buying one yourself, sir?
It's am I wrong? It's Bruce Timm's, right?
No, well, he's nothing to do with the book.
No, I'm saying, but who did the cover?
Creation?
No,
Pat Brobeck. The person did the cover was...
Pat Brobeck or something like that?
Mike.
Mike Probeck, yeah. Okay. Or Probeck, or I don't know how
you say it. Okay, gotcha. And then, they're saying that the reason why his book is drawing some kind of hoopla is because the fact that in the next Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, that Lady Gaga is going to play Harley Quinn.
I heard about that.
And... I don't necessarily say that she does anything for the book in general. I think this is a book that doesn't really need any help. It's a good book to have on here. You should have this book. But I don't necessarily think that the new Joker book is going to promote this because the last two Suicide Squads with Harley Quinn didn't do much for the book.
Right.
And so I don't know how. Lady Gaga is, popular. A big star, popular. Very popular. Mm-hmm. So it could get other people outside the comic world wanting to buy this book, which might push it up.
True. So I think toasted.
Yeah, I think toasted the capital, the cultural capital of Harley Quinn has now is beyond just people who watch the animated series back in the day, and the people who still read comic books. So I think the book has got some more legs.
This next one,
number 5,
I don't know, man. Yep, hit me.
It's a classic cover.
It's a classic cover. Great cover. Amazing Spider-Man number 316. First full cover appearance of Venom. I mean, it's a cool cover. I mean, you see,
we're back to the last roasted toaster, right? Where we said the book got a little steam because of the McFarlane signing, right? That's where this book comes from. It's a great cover. It's a great book to have a cover. It's not a first appearance. It's a first battle cover appearance. It's a good book to have. I actually have one of these in my collection, but just because I'm a Spider-Man guy, but I don't necessarily understand any steam other than the fact that more sales due to the McFarlane signing. That's what I'm thinking about. So I'm going to say it's...
McFarlane hype.
I'm going to not even say roasted. I'm not going to say toasted. I'm going to say busted. I'm a huge McFarlane fan. You guys know this. I'm a huge McFarlane fan.
Yes, you are.
But I'm saying it's busted because this book has been on the radar since for the last 10 years. This book has never not been a book you wanted to buy.
Right. Well, it's been slowly increasing over the last several years.
Price, because the other books they go along with this.
Yeah, it has.
Like little increases.
It skyrocketed during the pandemic.
And it's come down a little.
Yes.
And now it's sunk like a rock comparatively.
I don't think it's back to where it was before. I remember you could buy it for,
it's
like
not,
near mints for $50.
It's mm-hmm. not a good investment book in it's my
not, no,
eyes.
100%
so
not.
I'm roasting the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something I think anybody needs in their collection unless they're hardcore.
If you're a Spider-Man guy, it's in your collection.
Of course.
If you're a McFarlane guy, it's in your collection.
I like Spider-Man. I felt no need to keep it. Sold mine.
Wow.
Yeah. I like it. You did sell at the height of the market because you knew it was going to move at a higher price.
I sold it as it was coming down.
If it was if it was only worth $20, you probably would keep it because you'd be like, it's not worth the sale for $20.
You're correct. 100%. Yeah. If it wouldn't have been worth as much as it was or what I couldn't get out of it.
Well, then let's rephrase the question. Well, how much does it have to be for you to keep it?
How much does it have to be worth?
What's the balance there?
I'm saying it because it was worth more than $100, I got rid of it.
Right.
I'm going to say if
anything under like probably $50, I probably would have kept it because it just wouldn't validate selling it in my eyes. I would just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And that's what I do with some books. That's fine. You know, it's just I didn't need it at all.
Right.
There's other books that I value much more, like 300. I think, you know, to me,
it's definitely
more,
the better book.
Right, more important. So I was like, why do I need both of these? You know? So mm-hmm. I just got rid of it.
Yeah, if you're in a room and you had to choose one or the other, even though 300 is more expensive, I think you sell to get to into a 300.
Yeah, makes sense.
And we've noticed a lot of people buying more 300s lately. So I'm going to say, like I said, I'm not going roasty, I'm not going toasty, I'm just going full blown busted.
All right. Lightly toasted for me.
Lightly, okay.
All right. Next, number four, The Century, number one. Speculation.
Speculation, speculation, speculation. Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
That's the
you know what's funny?
Going to be that.
If he does it, it'd be a big F you to DC after, which is another story for another day.
Okay, but how different is it? How different in semi-abilities or appearance is the Sentry from Superman.
Like, man, the guy's like fucking schizophrenic or some shit, right?
No, I'm saying just like what he, like, you know, what he represents, right? In a sense.
Well, I mean, for
like Homelander,
a good 10 years, right? He was like prominent.
Yeah.
He was an Avenger. He was involved in Civil War.
He tore apart, God of War. What was his name?
Gore the God Butcher?
No, the other one.
Ares.
Yeah. He fucking tore him apart in half. He tore Ares in half.
But Sentry flies, right? He flies. Yeah, so it's like Shazam, Sentry, Superman. They're all like
Gladiator.
They're like revisions of Superman.
Hyperion. Yeah.
Try to take the unsalted, I don't want to say that word. I want to take the plain Jane of Superman and making him a little different by giving him oddities mm-hmm. that make him more interesting, I think.
Interesting character.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're like, it works so well with Moon Knight. No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Moon Knight has survived off his costume for so freaking
pretty dope
long.
Costume, though. I give it credit.
Well, of course, that's how he survived because he looks so cool. Otherwise, they would have gotten rid of him a long time ago.
He's
it's
a
not
blank
popular
slate.
Book.
The character is such a blank slate, Moon Knight, that anybody, it's like anybody can do an interpretation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to.
So that's the reason why.
You just create another persona.
Yeah.
You know, another identity.
Yeah, exactly. Sentry is, I don't know, it's an interesting case in the sense that the book has been, we're probably going on, 10 years now of speculation on the Sentry showing up?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is just another false flag, probably.
Well, I'm going to say, like Public Enemy says, don't believe the hype, and I'm going with roasted.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going lightly toasted, only because I do believe that something's coming with him.
You're wishing into an existence.
Yeah,
Your Henry Cavill conspiracy could be true.
Oh, he's interesting.
It's possible.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like,
I'll say this. There is a lot to like in that conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said earlier, it would be a big F you to DC after what recently went down. So I'm actually kind of in your I mean, I kind of agree with you, Donald. I think I'll lightly toast it too, based on possible speculation.
Sounds good.
Number three. Hulk number one, and let's be very specific, is what we say by Hulk number one. We're talking about
Red Hulk, motherfucker.
The Red Hulk from 2008, release.
This is really easy though, because
it's happening.
It's Thunderbolts, and they're they're basically saying, you know, they got Harrison Ford in it, and he's going to be and they're already saying he's going to be the Red Hulk in it. He's not. Could he be? They're saying he's going to be the Red Hulk in it, right? So, I mean, was it 2 years ago this book was hyped again?
It's also gone done a 10-year cycle, I think. I'm pretty certain, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, you can say that about almost every book here has, like, in the last 10 years, cycled through the speculation circuit, you know?
Well, I mean, it's true. Thunderbolt Ross has been in many Hulk.
He's been around.
He's been in there. He's just never – has never gotten to be the Red Hulk, but he's been in Hulk movies, right? He just never Hulk gotten
movies,
there.
Avengers movies and everything, right? Yeah.
And I think maybe Harrison Ford – probably more open to doing a Red Hulk, getting murdered and moving on. I think Harrison Ford is open to doing the one and done,
collecting his paycheck and moving on.
I think you're right.
Well, as an 80-year-old man at this point, why not?
Yeah, I mean, he's hanging up the hat with Indiana Jones this year.
Mm-hmm. And one last payday,
right?
One last big payday,
and then he's like, maybe two last big paydays.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the guy we had before he passed on,
William Hurt,
he was open to doing it long term, and
right.
And Harrison Ford just, hey, one and done. Make me the Red Hulk, kill me at the end, and then I can just never have to be in another
one of these movies. Marvel movies. One of these movies ever again. Yeah,
I can go back to my life with Ally McBeal.
Go to his ranch.
So I'm going to go ahead and say Roasted for me.
Really?
Right? Because, you know, it's a book. It's a modern book that's really only a book worth in at minimum 9.6.
Right.
I think anything below that, the book isn't worth very much in terms of an investment book.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a book in my collection, it wouldn't really be a book I would put in my collection. So for me, it's going to be Roasted.
Okay. Fair enough.
Donald?
Light Toasted for me.
Yeah, probably the same thing. I Light Toasted.
Yeah. The book is going to come and go. I don't think it's – I think there's probably like a billion copies out there.
Of course. There's plenty of them out there.
So it's a book. If you want it, you can get it. No problems.
Now, the next book, number two, is not as many out there. And it's something actually I want to get my hands on myself because I think I have issue number two in my collection. And that is Man-Thing number one.
Oh, yeah?
Second appearance.
Have I ever showed you my giant-sized Man-Thing, Kevin?
If you did, I certainly wasn't paying attention.
That's what happened when you let go of that cream pie.
Well, I can tell you right now. Right here. I can tell you now. Man-Thing was not on my radar.
And so you saw that Werewolf by Night special.
I saw the Werewolf by Night special.
That was so cool.
That I went out on the interwebs got me the Man-Thing omnibus.
Ooh.
And I finished it page to page. Nice. And let me tell you, that guy who wrote that, fucking amazing. That it was well written.
Was it Steve Gerber?
It's Gerber.
Yeah. It was well written. It was concise. You weren't like, you didn't feel like halfway through the book, the guy went crazy. No, it was really well all the way through. And then it made me really interested in finding these books. I'm, you know, Strange Tales number one, Savage Tales number one, and then the Man-Thing number one are two books that I'd be interested in having in my collection. I guess this book's being brought up because of the special, and they're talking about now having him in another show.
They should.
They did really well with that. So I think for me, just really quick, I'm going to say it's toasty as a motherfucker because I enjoyed the read.
Matter of fact, I'm black toasting it.
Wow. Burning it.
I'm burn toasting it.
Trials of the Man-Thing, where he travels around the world and meets up with other heroes and stuff. And like, I could see that being like a mini series.
Legion of Monsters.
Yeah, Trials. Yeah.
How about Legion of Monsters?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, with Morbius, it's Morbin time.
If you have the time and you have the money, because the omnibus wasn't cheap, but if you have the time and the money, you get the omnibus, read it, and you get more insight into the Man-Thing. And I think
it's Man's Thing.
What else has Gerber written? I think
Howard the Duck. Yeah. So he wrote practically everything at Marvel.
It was a hard time too. He wrote for DC. That was like his last thing. It's called Hard Time, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then he did Destroyer Duck for Eclipse.
Yep. Very
first episode. He had a run on, Gerber had a run on, I believe, Avengers. Okay. He basically, it was just like in the 70s where practically three writers wrote everything.
Oh, yeah. And I think he did some like Spider-Woman or something at some point, too. Like he would jump in every so often.
Yeah.
He was a filler, you know, writer, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did. That's how you paid the bills, you know?
Well, they weren't paying much, so.
No. What's the next one?
It's the final one. It is number one.
Rightfully so.
Omega Men number three. And I know Donald, I've known for many years, he has preached and preached.
Yes, sir.
About this book.
Yes, sir.
About Lobo. I mean, this man takes his handkerchief out. He is singing the praises to the Lord. He's like, Lord, when are they going to make a Lobo movie, a Lobo TV show? He's like, Lord, I have 8 copies of this, and I need these books to go up in value.
That I do.
But here's my question, though. So the big draw in this book is that James Gunn, you know, taking over DC, talking about Jason Momoa.
He looks the part.
I understand that piece. But
he looks the part.
As a person that pays a lot of attention to what you watch, can you distinguish between him being Lobo and Aquaman?
Well, that question, depending if you...
He has not been fired yet. They have not cut him loose from Aquaman yet. I know he talked about rebooting him completely.
Right. Yeah, well, they did say that Aquaman ends with number 2.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's that with Momoa.
Right, but he'd still be in some... they're talking about one more Justice League movie.
Depending on his acting skill set, if he can do what Chris Evans did, making you forget about him being originally Johnny Storm, Human Torch... And then becoming Steve Rogers, Captain America.
The big hurdle is going to be the timing. Like how soon between are we going to see Lobo and Aquaman?
Right.
Because with Chris, we had a long digestion.
Yeah, about a good 4 years or so. Yeah.
Where he wasn't anything.
Right.
And then he popped up as Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a starkly different character.
Right.
Much like Aquaman is supposed to be a starkly different character from Lobo.
That's right.
Well, he's playing Aquaman kind of like it's Lobo in the sea. So I'm a little bit leery, but I also know that Gunn's going to give him open range.
Yeah.
And he's going to just run with it.
Remember when Chris Evans did Johnny Storm, there was toys and there was shirts of Johnny Storm, but didn't look like Chris Evans. In the era we're in now,
they look like you.
All the toys look just like
the character.
So Aquaman looks like Jason Momoa.
Right.
All the t-shirts have Momoa's face on it.
Right.
He basically is Aquaman. So it's not like back then when you'd play a character and they would be toys in the store and it wouldn't look nothing like now. The you know, you look at the all those like 6 scale figures and all the, you know, they're really awesome toys.
One thing that might help, another example, you have Josh Brolin playing Cable and Thanos around basically the same period of time.
But there's the makeup. I mean, Lowell's makeup might hide it too, but, you know, being Thanos and, you know.
Well, I guess that leads to the question of how are they going to film Lobo? Are they going to do Lobo with him in white makeup?
He's got to be. He's just going to get jacked. That's all it is. There's no way that they're going to do the Thanos treatment with Lobo. That would be stupid. That would be so, and I'm honestly, I could see DC doing it because I just said it. It's going to be stupid.
Prosthetic, put some prosthetic makeup on him.
Yeah, yeah. Beef him up a little bit if you have to.
But here's my problem with him being Lobo. He looks the part, but he does not sound the part.
How does Lobo sound?
In your mind.
Because you've never heard Lobo speak.
I have.
In your mind.
Superman, the animated series.
Right? Exactly.
Yep, I know it.
Right, but that's
I imagine that beer guzzling voice. With that same beer guzzling, comic timing,
I think he can hit it.
Did you ever watch a Batman series prior to Christian Bale? Of course, right? Yeah. Keaton, you know, even further back.
That's a bad example. Bale was terrible.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he. I'm not saying
his voice was terrible.
He wasn't. Yeah. I'm just saying what I'm saying is that you know, I started with Batman from way back, right? So when I went from the original to Michael Keaton, it was different, right? And then you went to who was next? Was it
Well, you have with Batman one, you have a variety of interpretations in mass media. Lobo, you got maybe 2 or 3. You know, I think one of the video games he's in it, right? There's a voiceover for it.
Yes.
What was that? I think the fighting one, right?
Yeah, because he was on a bike, I think, or something at some point.
So, and they still follow the same kind of anime series.
Now, here's the biggest thing. Besides you, Donald, and a good handful of people who are into Lobo or in the Lobo, when Lobo appears on the screen, right, to people nowadays, how many people really know who Lobo is.
They won't.
They won't.
There's been a couple of new
Lobos. They're gonna all complain like this guy's just fucking Deadpool.
Yeah, basically. Like, oh, what a ripoff. Or what,
you know? Yeah, exactly. Well, it's supposed to like Deathstroke. How people feel about Deathstroke. They see him like, oh, it was a ripoff of Deadpool without understanding. Yeah. It's the opposite.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to make that comparison.
I hope not.
I don't think with Deadpool and Deathstroke. I think most because there's two, the personalities are so different. Yeah. And we can thank Joe Kelly for that.
Right.
For creating Slade's or Wade's
him personality. And,
I do think people, when they see Lobo, are going to be like, if it's a good, well-done movie, they're going to want to go out and get the comics to see the more backstory, right? If it's done really well, they're going to want to go out. Just like with me, when Man-Thing TV show or whatever series made me want to go read to see how he became, how the Man-Thing was created, how Ted became the Man-Thing. So I think if Lobo's done really well, people are going to go out and say, who is Lobo? Where did he come from?
What if he's part of a Rebels team?
But no, they're talking about.
Man. You know, I would love that.
I tried. We had a sale, and I tried to sell Rebels number zero.
And no one wanted
the
to
first
listen.
Appearance. Nobody listened to me, and I was like, guys, I'm telling you right now,
it's a good read.
This is the best Tony series Bedard. Of the 90s.
It's like, you remember we met Tony Bedard?
The best.
But I can tell you this right now. Awesome. Yeah. Whenever you tell somebody this is like, for instance, if you tell me, hey, the Man-Thing, here's a great read. Here's book one. It doesn't. In that case, if it's a 6-part series, you got to say. This is the 6-book series you need to read. Here it is. And then they pick up that series and then they read everything that goes with it. You have to provide them the opportunity to read the series. Because you read one book and then you're like, because sometimes the first book doesn't always deliver, but 2, 3, 4 do.
True.
And sometimes one is fucking awesome and 2, 3, 4 suck. Uh-huh. Right.
And by the way, that Rebels reference that you made.
Yeah.
There's only 3 people that are going to enjoy it. 2 of them are you guys and the other one, Big Sean.
All right, that's fair.
That's fair enough.
But the only people who probably still remember Rebels.
Well, like I said, I don't know much about the Lobo character, but I can tell you right now, I watched the movie, and if I guarantee you, if it's a good, well done movie, I'm gonna want to go out and watch more. Just like when I watched the last Suicide Squad, and the fucking giant dumbass Starfish is on there, it didn't make me want to read the backstory on it.
Oh, that's because you're not a DC fan.
Yeah, Starro.
Starro was awesome.
Starro was
in the
really
comic
cool.
book,
especially.
He was cool in the movie,
and yeah. I didn't say
in Rebels.
And I'm not going to say Starro wasn't awesome. What I'm saying is that movie didn't make me want to do it. Right.
Well, I mean, it's just the fucking starfish that controls the thing. It's not a. There's not a lot of storylines with it, but they weren't trying to sell you on that. They were trying to sell you on Peacemaker and what's it called? Bloodsport, you know?
Yeah.
But they're all like, those were deep, deep cuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Black Adam sold me very much on Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
I thought,
Hawkman 2 for that.
When I watched that movie, I was more interested in. I was more interested in Dr. Fate than I was in Black Adam.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people.
When that movie was over, I wanted to know more about Dr. Fate than I did about Black Adam.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan did a great job.
Yeah.
Well, and just the character was written better.
Maybe never do it again.
Well, maybe not. I mean, there's a way.
He didn't die?
Yeah, there's always a way.
There's a way.
There's always a will and a way. I get it.
The character was written better. I'm not saying The Rock didn't do his job. I don't think...
His character wasn't as fleshed out as you would have liked.
Because he was supposed to seem like he was this badass, angry man.
5,000-year-old man. Yeah.
But he ended up, to me, just seeming like a dude that winked. That was it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, right?
Yes, sir.
Pretty much does it.
Lobo, for me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Toasted.
I'm going to say my...
Dark toasted.
I put my bread in the toaster, hit the button, and it didn't work, so it came out... Slightly hot,
lukewarm
bread.
Oh, I'm toasting it.
I know, I'm toasting. You
get that
me.
Crunch. Put some more peanut butter on there.
You sold me. You sold me on that one years ago, and I agree. Especially after reading Rebels and other stuff.
Someone stuck a moldy piece of bread in my toaster, and that's what it came out.
I had to rehydrate the outside of my bread and put it in the toaster to get it all crunchy. All
right, that's fair. All right, that's gonna do us, right?
Yes. Please find us out there.
Subscribe
first.
YouTube would be great. Give us a thumbs up. Give us
Apple,
a like.
Apple,
give us a follow.
Google,
and
Stitcher.
Hit that notification bell.
Right. Yeah.
I can tell right now, if you like what you're listening to, you got to subscribe because it gets us to do more videos or do more podcasts.
Yep. And if you have anything to say about this, you have an opinion, please put it
in the comment section.
Yes.
Yeah, leave a comment.
And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you.
And hopefully a never you'll see this in a roasted or toasted comic book shop.
Yeah, especially since there's so much paper.
Yeah, that's true. So much paper.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.